Fred Film Radio, International Film Festival, Rotterdam, Netherlands.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2018 International Film Festival, Rotterdam, and I'm very pleased to be joined by director Donald Foreman. Thank you very much for joining us.
Good to be here.
And you're presenting the film The Image You Missed. Would you like to introduce the film to our listeners and just tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. So The Image You Missed is a feature-length documentary that explores the archive of my father, Arthur McCaig, who is an American documentary filmmaker who made a lot of films about the conflict in Northern Ireland over a 30-year period. And I didn't really know him growing up, but he died 10 years ago, and I ended up in possession of his archive of films. So I use the archives as the kind of basis of this essay film documentary that explores his life, the political history, and questions about what political filmmaking is.
So how big was the archive, just to get an idea?
Well, he made maybe about a dozen feature films. He made 8 films in about the conflict in Northern Ireland, 3 features and a few shorts, but then there's a bunch of other films as well. And there's a lot of raw footage, 16mm film reels from his early films, videotapes from the laters, and all in all, maybe 100 hours of footage. I'm not really sure, but it took about 6 months to go through and watch everything.
Right. I guess the follow-up question would be, why did you decide to make this movie?
Well, since I had first discovered his archive, it was in a few months after his death, I got to sort through his apartment in Paris and found all this material. And since that experience, I just had a feeling that there was a film here, that there was something to be done with that material. And in the end, making the film, I kept coming back to that experience, that the film in a way was expressing what it felt like to be in his apartment and to find these images and try to piece him together through these images, because I didn't really know him beforehand. So it felt like a film that I really needed to make for myself sooner or later, and also a film that no one else could make.
So it was a personal journey.
Yeah. And also a way of challenging myself as a filmmaker, I think, because a lot of what I made before has been fiction, drama, and I've tended towards quite observational approach. Whereas with this, there's voiceover, there's archive, there's a lot of elements that I'd never really worked with before, and it kind of forced me into a different headspace as a filmmaker. So I thought it was a way of sort of creating a dialogue with his work that would push me forward as a filmmaker, as well as the personal motivations, obviously.
Yeah. Creating a dialogue with his work and also with him, I guess, because sometimes you address him directly.
Yeah, my voiceover in the film is sort of addressed as a letter to him. And it's a dialogue with him, or a ghost of him, or a fiction of him that I've invented for the film.
Yeah.
One or the other.
And speaking of the voiceover, I actually noted something that you said down there I thought was very interesting, and I just wanted to tell us a little bit about it. I'm paraphrasing now because I just took it down real quickly. So you mentioned it's not just that you and I see things differently, and then you add we came into cinema and the world at different moments. I'm very curious, obviously, like, you're both filmmakers, but I do like the way that you mention into cinema and the world.
I mean, from the start of making the film, I thought about exploring the differences between his work and mine with our different styles, whereas my father's documentaries are quite traditional issue-based documentaries in a way, with a very strong political perspective, where he wants to explain the situation to you, and he wants to explain it to you from his point of view and one side and really convince you of it. And so I was interested in seeing, you know, well, what was his motivation doing that, and what's my motivation making my films? And initially I thought of it more of the personal difference between him and me and our sensibilities. But I realized through the making of the film that this was really also about a difference in timing and in the political moment, because he started making films in the 70s when there was a lot of revolutionary possibility still in the air and a lot of radical political filmmaking where people were really trying to support these armed struggles around the world and this idea of socialist or communist revolution. So that was really part of the context in which he made his films. And it's a totally different world today. Those, particularly, I think the idea of armed struggle and the imagery around that, it doesn't have the same implications. It doesn't seem to have the same possibilities that it did then. So, yeah, that bit of the voiceover, I think I was just trying to reflect on that difference.
Although you did, in the film, you do mention that at some point you went and tried to make a film about the Occupy movement, which didn't really go as planned, I guess, or as you'd hoped.
Yeah, I think it wasn't even so much that I had a plan, but I was there and I was involved in Occupy Wall Street, and because I was a filmmaker, I felt compelled to film and to do something. But at the same time, I didn't want to do anything that was a traditional documentary. I didn't want to have voiceover explaining what was going on. I didn't want to do talking head interviews, all these things that my father did, like, naturally. To me, just my aesthetic mind as a filmmaker, I was like, oh, I can't do it. And also because so many other people were doing that. There was, you know, hundreds of videos on YouTube all the time. So what I ended up doing was things that were very observational of certain, like, moments that were going on, just reflecting the experience of it, and also focusing a lot on the people who were making images, because that's also one of the kind of shifts in these different moments between me and my father, I think, is that images are so much more omnipresent now, that, you know, you go to a protest and there could be as many camera people as protesters, or even more. So that really changes the dynamic of what it means to film an event. You know, if someone, a cop, you know, starts arresting someone, and you have you have like 20 camera people who are like, and then everyone who isn't an official camera person, they all get out their phone to film. You know, and so when you see a sea of people doing that, for me, I feel like there's no point. I'm not adding anything. I'm not contributing anything except maybe for myself, because I can say, oh, here's my image about it, you know. It becomes, so sometimes I film them instead of what they were, I film the camera people instead of what they were filming.
That's interesting, though. But it is interesting how, you know, people do film these things, but how the image can still kind of be manipulated in a way, you know.
Yeah, there was an image of the inauguration protests last year in Washington, D.C. when Trump was sworn in, of a burning heap of trash that some protesters had kind of set on fire. But there was this wide shot image where you saw just a perfect circle of photographers and camera people around the burning fire filming it, and no protesters, you know. It was just like a perfect photo op spectacle.
Interesting, interesting. You hardly saw your father while he was alive. But still, it is curious that you both ended up being filmmakers. Now, did he have something to do with that? Like, did that have something to do with it?
I think it didn't in a conscious way, but I think subconsciously it certainly could have. I definitely knew enough about him. I knew he was a filmmaker. I saw a few of his films when I was younger. But when I started making films, I was 11 years old, and a friend had a video camera, and we were bored one weekend just messing around, and it happened in that kind of organic way that just emerged out of like playing with friends. So there wasn't any conscious imitation there, but that is something I kind of play around with in the film, that idea of the kind of potential influence or relationship there, because there's another line in the film where I say that I made my first film while he was making his last, because that was 1997. He was finishing off his last feature documentary on our own as I was messing around with my friends in our houses.
And of course there are differences in your both your filmmaking. I think there's another line, you know, he mentioned that he wasn't interested in formal exercises, something like that, so I took it that to be, you know, fiction filmmaking or something like that. So there is differences, and you have made fiction films in the past, and you mentioned that this was your first documentary. Now, I'd just like to know a little bit about what the experience was like, and whether you discovered a love for documentary filmmaking as well as fiction filmmaking.
Just to say first about his interests, I think actually when he was talking about the formal approach, he was more so talking about documentaries that were more experimental or playing around with the image, or really a film like the kind of documentary I made. Perhaps one of the reasons I included it was sort of in the spirit of a dialogue to let like him critique my images in the film.
And I forgot that he actually was writing a film, a fiction film. So he mentioned
he was really interested in making a fictional film. In the mid '80s, he wrote several screenplays that were based on his experiences making films in Northern Ireland and also in the Basque conflict, which he also made several films about. And he really tried. He wrote like kind of political thrillers, like sexy political thrillers, based on that. But wasn't able to get the money, and you know, that didn't happen. But to return to your question about my own interest in documentary, I think I would definitely like to do more films in this vein that are kind of essay film documentaries and also fiction. And for me, like, as I'm working on something, I don't really think about that distinction, because like every fiction film, especially mine, have documentary elements, and a documentary like this also has elements that are quite manipulated. So each film is its own beast in a way, but I feel like this has opened up kind of new possibilities that, like, I didn't know if I could make a film in this style before I did, and now I feel like it's something else that I can add to the possibilities of future films.
Well, thank you very much for joining us and talking to us about it.
Okay, thanks.
And once again, I remind our listeners that the film is called The Image You Missed, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.